This podcast replay is brought to you by Vape and Smoke Shop in West Pines. Mention the Big O Show. Get 10 to 20% off the entire store. Call them 954-613-3367 or visit on social media at VSS West Pines.
This is the Big O Show.
Bruce, how much more would you like the team to win this year? What are you looking for? What kind of improvements on the field this year?
We expect substantial improvement on the field. You probably heard Mike's comments and Donnie's comments. You haven't heard Donnie's, you will. I don't have a number in mind, okay? I know the sports betting people have numbers. It's irrelevant. We have tremendous athletes there. We've acquired significant free agents this year. We're going to put a championship-type quality team on the field that can do wonderful things. It will all play out. And you know, we don't take it for granted that we went from the 29th to 30th farm system when we took ownership to the 4th or 5th farm system. And you haven't seen yet those players to come to fruition, but you will. All those players we invested in will come to fruition.
Bruce, how much more would you like?
There you go. That is Bruce Sherman yesterday answering questions for the media. One of the guys that was there is this gentleman, Tom DeAngelo, writer for the Palm Beach Post. He's like Sagua Fair. He is everywhere. He covers it all. Follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Tommy, good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Big O. Great to be back in the show. And I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
Have you ordered your World Series tickets yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting till the end of spring training to make sure they're all healthy for that World Series run, because, you know, if there's an injury or two, then, you know, then they can't get there. You know what I'm saying? But that was some strong talk by Bruce Sherman. What'd you think of that?
Well, you know, on the one hand, they've got to be optimistic. Everybody in spring training, every team in the state of Florida and the state of Arizona believe that they have a chance to win the World Series. But you've also got to be a little bit realistic. I like the way Don Mattingly has said it. Don Mattingly has come out and said, look, we need to sustain improvement. We have to show improvement. If we don't, it will be disappointing. That's perfect. But to come out and say we have a championship caliber team and we signed significant free agents, I mean, that's just not being realistic. And I think that's putting a lot of pressure on the manager.
Yes. No, I mean, I like Dickerson and Joyce and those guys, but they're not significant.
Right.
They're nice additions. I do like the youngsters. There's a part of me that says Bruce kind of phrased it the wrong way. I don't even know if he really – what I think he's meaning is that this starts to be the road to a championship, that you'll start to see young players develop and a team develop that can then turn into a champion down the line. I think that's kind of what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the beginnings of trying to build a real champion, because he's expecting the young guys to now, you know, Jazz and all these guys, J.J. Blade, that he's expecting that we're going to start seeing these guys in the majors in the next year or two. And I think that's kind of what he meant, but I don't think he phrased it the right way. And then that's why I think we kind of are running with it a little crazy. Do you follow me on that?
That's exactly. I mean, you look, this is year three of this new ownership. They had an impossible task of coming in after 13 years of the worst ownership in sports. They had no choice. They had to just burn everything down to the ground and start all over. And I have no problem with them trading Stanton in that contract and trading Ozuna, even, you know, and even trading Yelich. I mean, they did not, those guys did not want to be there. So you got to do what you can do to get, and now after 2 years, this is the time where we see out now the prospects have to start showing it. And like you said, is this a core that can eventually contend? Because now is when you're going to start judging Derek Jeter, mostly Derek Jeter, is year three, because you have to start seeing progress on the field, not so much in the win-loss record, yes, but you have to start seeing progress from these young players that you have identified as your core that is going to take you to compete for a championship.
Tommy, you and I are, you know, we're old, bro. We've been around. We've covered a lot of baseball. We've covered a lot of teams over the years. Youth does not win. And I get it. In 2003, mm-hmm. we saw the miracle of all miracles with a whole bunch of young guys sprinkled in with some veterans. But this is such a young team. I at least for me, here's my realistic. From 57, I'm hoping you get to 65 to 70 wins. I know some people are saying 70-plus. I have a hard time really believing that. I think if you're in that neighborhood of 10 wins plus improvement, I think you're going to, I'll be satisfied with 65 to 70 because that's the kind of progress that I find is realistic. If we start going into the high, into the 70s or 80 to get to 500, I just think that's unrealistic and you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, you broke up a lot there, but I think I understood what you said. I agree. You listen, they won 57 games last year. So a 70 would be a significant improvement. That would be a, I think that's the best you can hope for, a 70. And like you said, if you go in the high 60s, you know, you're showing, obviously you guys are playing better. You're a player. And not just that. And like I said, you have, you know, if you see progress out of some of these young players, they picked up and even guys that we fear, the Brian Andersons and this young and the young pitching staff. We saw Sandy Alcantara. We saw him improve at the end of last year as he continued that improvement. Caleb Smith and now the younger guys that are going to start the year in the minors, like the Sixto Sanchez and those guys. If that starts coming, if those guys start coming, and they can win 68, 70 games, that's a very successful season. And then now you go into the next year and you say, okay, we got to try to get into a wild card. We got to start competing. So I agree with you. I mean, that's holistic and that's improvement, but you know, not coming out and saying that we're championship caliber. That's, you don't go from 105 losses or 102, 103, whatever they had, 57 wins to a championship caliber team in one off season.
No, I'm with you there. And Tom DeAngelo, of course, from the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on the program. Tommy, what's your sense? Do you believe that as aggressive as Sherman was with his predictions, will he be that aggressive in re-signing these young players in the next couple of years when, mm-hmm. if they shine and their contracts are up and you want to keep and build a core, do you think Sherman's going to be committed to that?
He addressed that too. And that was asked of him, how part of the issue of the mistrust with former ownership is as soon as guys, you know, were ready to get paid, they let them go. And he said, and in fact, he took a very subtle shot at the previous ownership when he said, you know, that's a silly way to run a club. He said up and down. That's the way they were. Because he mentioned how he was a fan of the model. And he was just seeing him going up and down. He said, and his quote was, that's a silly way to run a team. To run a franchise. And he said, we will pay these guys. And first of all, he said, we will go out and we will sign free agents, expensive free agents, when it comes that time, when that's what they need to do. I mean, there was no set. They're not going out and signing Steven Strasburg or Garrett Cole or anyone last summer. No, that's not where they are. It's rebuild. But in 2 years, they may be, when some of these guys develop. And like we said, they make a leap to 70 wins, and then all of a sudden they're on 80 and they're banging on the door of a playoff. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to open the wallet. You've got to spend money to fill in the gaps with some significant, you know, the real significant free agents, not Corey Dickerson and Villar. And you've got to pay your guys who are coming up. And he said he would. I mean, we're probably not going to hit that point for another two summers. But as of yesterday, and this is his promise to the fans that he will do this, because he knows that these fans have been punched in the gut for God since 2004. These poor Marlins fans, that's all they've had is disappointment and mistrust and being lied to.
Listen, I got to respect it, at least that he said it, because he's, mm-hmm. if he's going to put himself out there on a limb and he's going to talk about this team, well, okay, then I want to know, as an owner, are you going to step up? And yep. I want to hear my owner say that, at least.
Look, and that soundbite's out there, because he knows. He knows. He's smart. He knows the first time that he reneges on that promise, that soundbite will be out there. So right now you can always only take him for his word, and hopefully it gets to that point where they become significant enough and they become contenders, where it's important to re-sign some of these guys and it's important to go out and get some players on the market.
Are you sensing a little bit of a turn in the fan base at all? Are people What are you getting? Are you still getting a lot
I think it's going to take. Yeah, you're down in Miami more than me, so you're probably as good a feel on this. I don't see it right now. I think it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of. It's going to take years of these guys keeping their promises. It's going. It's going to take a little while for this for the fans to kind of start trusting in coming out to see the Marlins. You know, these last 2 years, that's one area. Well, I will admit, I think that they did what they had to do when they took over this team. But one area they really have not done well, and it's not has not turned out like when they first got here and expecting the fan base to increase. They're at the same numbers they were for 2 years. It's held steady at about 70-something hundred a game. And that's not going to cut it. I mean, you've got to build that base up. So, I don't know, Bigo. I don't see it this year. You know, I don't, they're not going to get excited. We'll see the progress, and you might see the progress winning 65 to 70 games, but it's not going to get fans excited. We'll see when they, you know, in a couple of years, if they start really showing improvement, I think they'll come out. If in 2 years we're sitting here talking that they're coming off a 65 win season 2 years from now, and then they're not going to come out, and it's going to be the same old thing.
I think there's a tiny little turn. I think there are some people that are like, okay, I'm going to give them a chance, because I kind of sensed it at FanFest. I mean, the place had 17,000 people. It was loaded. And there was a ton of kids too, Tom. And I was really surprised with that. And I was also surprised with the vibe. It wasn't just a couple of guys that wanted to go over there and get some autographs and pictures and then just leave. No, man, it was families. It was fathers and sons. I saw a lot of that, and I saw a lot of that kind of camaraderie. And I think there are people that want to give them a chance. So this is a really good opportunity for them over the next couple of years. And I think by them signing even some of the free agents that they signed that aren't big ones, but the fact that they saw them spend a little money,
I think
people are starting to say, okay, maybe there's something here to it. And now when the owner comes out and says, hey, this is – and when you make fun of the prior ownership, then that means you must be committed because, you know, it's – not that it's not that hard to be better than Jeffrey Loria. I mean, it's really easy to be better than Jeffrey Loria, but – I think there is an opportunity for them there, but they've got to take advantage of that window now. And it's going to happen over the next couple of years. And I think this season is the season where you start to win the fans over if your young guys start to shine now.
You know what I'm saying? And what you said is exactly right. I mean, it would have been irresponsible to go out and throw $300 million at somebody because where they are right now in this rebuild. But just to get some players that are – you know, that are coming off, you know, and I don't have any problem. They only have problems saying they signed significant free agents. Otherwise, those are the players, the Dickerson, the Millars that they need, the guys who've been, you know, maybe you catch somebody on a, who had a down year, who has a little bit of potential and you give them a chance. I have no problem with that. Guys who've had a little bit of success in the majors and they can help get you to that next level and even help the younger guys. So, yeah, and you're right. I mean, if they see that and they – at the end of this year, fans are looking and say, wow, they won 70 games. They just improved by 13. Things are going good. They're going to spend a little more money. Then you'd see – then you're going to start seeing – then they're going to start coming back. I think it takes one more year of the fans gaining – of the fans – of them gaining the fans' trust, one more year, and then you'll start seeing them, I think. You'll start seeing them – with a little more optimism, a little more enthusiasm, and maybe a year from now we're sitting there thinking, you know, this attendance could get up, could double or something, because you go from 17,000 to, I mean, 7,000 a game, it's not tough, because I think it was Tampa's the next lowest team with about 12,000. So there, I mean, they are way down there. So, yeah, they just need to start start giving them something to be a little bit optimistic about and, you know, regaining their trust, and then they'll start coming.
Tom DeAngelo does an excellent job of covering South Florida sports for the Palm Beach Post. You can follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Tommy, let me ask you a little heat. Can't let you go without asking a little heat. Did it seem to you like I'm starting to feel like maybe they're the team that peaked early and other teams are kind of catching up, and And it's almost like they're coming back down to a little bit more of reality of who they are. Maybe they aren't a top four seed like we thought they were early on. So was it real? Was it Memorex, what we were seeing early on? What do you think?
They've certainly exceeded expectations. I think they're better than I thought coming in. But right, I don't think they're a top three seed. I think the ceiling is four. But I said coming into the year, if everything broke right, the ceiling could be a four seed, because and I didn't think the Celtics would be this good, and I didn't think Toronto would be this good, but I thought Philadelphia would be better, and I thought Indiana would be better. So I still would think, I was looking, so it's kind of a wash there. So I was looking around four being the ceiling, and it probably is now. They're probably not going to catch, you know, no one's going to catch Milwaukee, and they're probably not going to catch Toronto or Boston, and they could be caught from behind Philadelphia and finish fifth, which is still a good. I remember this team for the last 2-3 years is treading water and trying to, you know, just trying to get into the playoffs. And if they were even fifth, that's a significant improvement. But the way the key is it's just a completely different, the excitement level, the optimism for the future, the young players that, again, they're amazing. There's no, it's unbelievable how far ahead of all the other franchises that the Heat are in this market. Able to identify players, the Nuns of the world and the Duncan Robinsons, and then being able to go out and get attract players when they're stuck with no money and they're able to sign a Jimmy Butler and go out and make trades, set salary when they have to. I think it's a great start to this, if you want to call it a rebuild, although the Miami Heat rebuild, they never really have the tank to rebuild because they know how to do it. So I say four or five would be a legitimate goal, and I think it would be an improvement. And then you see what he can do next off season. And as we know, everything's geared to two off seasons for now. So Pat Riley's not going to go out and hand out any long term contracts next summer, because everything is geared to getting that class with Giannis in it in 2 summers from now.
All right, follow him on Twitter. He does an excellent job, as always, for the Palm Beach Post. TomDeAngelo44. Tommy, as always, my brother, thank you for taking some time. Enjoy your trips to Jupiter.
My pleasure, Orlando. Thanks for having me.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. Tom DeAngelo, man. Good stuff, as always. In that scrum, by the way, with Sherman, I also noticed that Manny Navarro was there for The Athletic. He was doing a little Marlins coverage yesterday also. So we can actually, in our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report today at 1 o'clock, we can ask him about the Canes. We can also get his thoughts on a little Marlins action too, because Manny, obviously that was his beat for a long time too.
I correct you, sir. The number one ranked Miami Hurricanes baseball team. We moved up in the rankings. We are number one in several of the polls.
What did I mention baseball?
No, the Hurricanes.
I know, but where are you correcting me?
No, well, you didn't mention we're number one.
I never mentioned the baseball team. Okay, I know, but he's not even on the baseball beat. They don't even cover baseball.
So. I realize that. Canes.
Congratulations.
We're number one, man. Yeah, you know,
it's cool. It's
been
cool.
A while.
It's cool.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
What was it, those five number ones? That goes back, 12?
It's the sad part is, in this town, nobody cares about college baseball until the College World Series. And then they'll like, hey, yeah, let's pay attention to Canes baseball. That's what they'll do.
Hey, as dumb
and
as the
which,
Canes,
by the way, it's the best value in town when it comes to sports, is go buy a ticket for a baseball game and go watch a Canes baseball game. Best value.
As down as we've been, the basketball team, you know, young guys, the football team, to have something to go, hey,
and to think and to imagine baseball even being back in that university, considering how difficult it is, it's a hell of an accomplishment, But I know it's hard to get people excited about, you know, college baseball. Let's see what we have here. John says, how would we all feel if we don't take Tua and he becomes a Hall of Famer? How would you feel if you don't take Tua and he becomes a Hall of Sack of injuries? The same way goes, John. You know, if we didn't take Yetiel Green, you didn't have to deal with all the injuries. So it's the same thing. It goes both ways. If you see him break down constantly, you'll be grateful you didn't draft him. you'll go, you'll be even more pissed if you draft him and he's a sack of injuries. You know why? Because you saw it coming. That's the worst part about Tua. It's the same thing as Yetiel Green. Hey, Devontae Parker had several injuries in college, and he kept being injured in the NFL. And it took him to his fifth year to finally break through. Most of the time when you're injury prone, you stay injury prone. Shavad Bodhi says, Big O, away from the Bahamas, should Finns be concerned if the Chargers move up to take Tua by trading up with the Lions? Yeah. But that's if you're concerned about Tua, my brother. I'm not. I want somebody to take Tua at three. I don't want the Dolphins to take Tua. So I'm the wrong guy to ask. You know, I'm just not the guy that is hung on Tua. I got off the Tua bandwagon before the hip injury. Okay? Before the hip injury happened, I said, I'm done with Tua. I'm not drafting him at the top of the draft. 1, 2, 3, 4. Because at that time, we didn't know where the Dolphins were going to end up. I know it wasn't going to be one, but we knew it was like 2 to 5 that they had a shot. And I said, I didn't want Tua then. So how am I going to want him after the hip injury? So yes, I hope somebody takes him number one overall. Okay? That's how badly I want somebody else to take Tua. I'm terrified of that kid. I love him as a player. I just can't trust his body. That's all. Nothing about his play. The kid's a baller, but he can't stay healthy.
This is a risk management thing, and the risks, the chances you're taking with that type of a pick.
Right.
And the honestly, O, the fact you pointed out yesterday, you're not going to know for another year. The fact that you're putting it off, it's going to be 2 years, that it totally makes it not worth the risk.
I know. That's the other
thing. That's the clincher.
That's the other thing. You won't see Tua till 2021 and find out if he can actually play or stay healthy, because he's not really going to play much in 2020 at all. So you won't even know anything about him. It's crazy, man. Big O, if you're the Finns GM, who's your focus during free agency period before the draft? So happy Tannenbaum is gone. Young free agents, my brother, that we talked about. If there are young mid-20 free agents that are available, those are the guys I'm focused in on. Outside of that, NorCal, the free agents that Miami should be interested in are fringe guys, because you're only going to – that's what I would do, only offer 1 or 2 year deals. I am not making any kind of commitments to long-term contracts to any free agents. Miami's nowhere near a championship right now. So there's no reason to spend big money on older free agents that are – like if you were on the cusp of doing something, then you add a guy, but you're not. So if there are young free agents, like I talked about last week, those are the guys that I would get. Mike Monaco from the Bronx. What's wrong with women? I can't talk about girls. I thought this was a man's podcast. Mike, this is a podcast for everybody, my man. Okay? Men and women. We do not broadcast for just one sex. All right? That's not the way we work here. We are fair to everybody. So be respectful, my friend.
We have the fishnet approach. We're trying to get them all.
Yes. Drew Bow. Hey, oh, all this Tua and Herbert talk reminds me of Neil Rogers 2002. Jimmy and Danny. Danny and Jimmy. Jimmy and Danny. Danny and Jimmy. I wonder if I have that. I may have that. You know that? I may have that Neil Rogers drop from back in the day. Let me see. I'll look it up now. I don't have it, man. I mean, pot it up there, bro. Give me a Josh Gordon. Pot it up there.
I have no life.
No, I don't have
it. Boy, does he have a lot of chutzpah.
No.
Hi there, boys and girls. Today, we've got a very extra special friend stopping by to show us all about something really...
I'm just driving down I-95.
Ow! There you go. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Dwayne Staupe, Substance Abuse Awareness Campaign. This is take 9. Dwayne, that's your cue.
Oh, right.
Oh, this is one of the best.
Anytime you're ready.
We're ready, Dwayne.
Oh, hi. This is Dwayne Stomp of Blacktooth. I'm telling you, if you do drugs this weekend, don't drive.
Wrong again, Dwayne. It's don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not even close to what you said.
You come in this booth, I'll show you how close it was, Sherlock.
We're going to do it again, Dwayne. Say don't do drugs. If you must drink this holiday weekend, do not drive. Take 12.
This is Dwayne Stump. Weekends are for drunks. Do drugs.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much for coming in. I think with a little editing, we've got something we can use.
Don't do drugs. And if
you must drink
this holiday weekend, don't
drive.
I love it. I love
that
it.
That is one of my favorites of all time.
I love
man.
It.
Estoy
estrangulando el pollo para acá.
Estoy estrangulando el pollo para acá.
That's choking the chicken in Spanish, in other words, is what he's saying, right?
It is so hard.
It is. It is. It's hard.
I it's all hate hard. To put a stop to this, but we need to get ready for Mike Triplett.
Oh, man. Do we have to?
Man, you better know your laws, mister, because you sure don't.
That's right.
You could do a whole show.
No more
of
sucking,
this.
Please.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt. There's.
That is not a communist bunch of crap, sir.
No, it's not. It's not a communist bunch of crap. Ah, the bridge tender. Don't we love the bridge tender? It's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
Yes, we do. All right. I don't have the Jimmy and Danny, unfortunately. I thought maybe I could have that Jimmy and Danny. I'm wrong, right? There is no Jimmy and Danny. I'm looking to see. I got a bunch of the sound bites, but no, not at all.
How about a lady in Hollywood?
Yeah, Neil.
Thank goodness somebody's still on there. What's going on here? I guess those guys all ran out to get the operation.
Hello again, everyone, from the Channel 7 News Center. I'm Rick Sanchez with your 60-second Gulf War update. We have some new reports that just came in. They're hard to explain, so let's move to the Middle East war map. Rick's World, if you will, and I'll try to explain.
Rick's World, party on, excellent.
Party on, everyone. I'm your most excellent anchor, Rick Sanchez, and with me, as always, Sally Fitz. Party on, Sal.
Party on, Rick. Called San Pedro lately?
Not since I've been back from Houston. People in the business remember, but fortunately for me, the public has a short memory.
Say, what about that guy you flattened? Is he still in a coma?
Yeah, still in a coma. I'm so glad you brought that up, Sal. Not. Anyway, Hussein blew off a couple more scuds at the occupied West Bank, but those awesome Patriot dudes intercepted.
Kaboom! Kaboom!
As you know, the insane Hussein. Gosh, can I turn an original phrase or what?
I love it. All right. Let's take a break. Mike Triplett's going to join us, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. We're going to talk some Saints. Breeze, where's Teddy Bridgewater going? Taysom Hill, is that really a quarterback? Hour number two is next.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
The world's biggest band is coming twice. Metallica. Headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. The weekend of May 8th through the 10th. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now. The one, the only, Metallica. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Act now. Home values are ticking up. Don't put off making a move any longer. Call Michael Codsey now at Choice Mortgage Bank, 561-441-2730, while mortgage interest rates are still at historical lows. Call now to get pre-approved and buy your dream home. If you're currently paying over $800 a month for rent, call 561-441-2730 now before interest rates go up. Down payments as low as 3.5%. 5.5%. Veterans may qualify for no money down. If you own a home, but you're upside down, Michael Kodzie can help. If you're being denied by your bank or your loan process is taking too long, call 561-441-2730. Act now while fixed rates are still under 3.5%. Offices in Boca and Boynton Beach. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 122081.
Plus tax, tech title. It includes $899 dealer fee on approved credit offers and 1110-19.
Over 1,500 Toyotas are on the ground, and truckloads of new 2020 Toyotas just keep on coming. To eliminate all 2019 models, Toyota of Hollywood is holding the ultimate 2019 model year changeover event. Make us an offer, any offer, and you can buy a Toyota at up to 50% less than their original MSRP when new and used.
50% less.
A pre-owned 2019 RAV4, not $30,000, $19,775. A pre-owned 2019 Camry LE, not $26,000, $17,775. A pre-owned 2019 Corolla LE, not $22,000, $12,775. Pay up to 50% less at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer. Based on total retail sales of new Toyotas in the Southeast region for 2014 to 2018 per SET. On 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street. Open till midnight.